This morning, I want to share a thought, introduce a topic that I will probably take this week and next week to really unpack it in hopes that it will help all of us. I want to talk to us this morning and talk to you and those that are watching by way of live stream. I want to talk to you about conquering fear.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about conquering fear. It's in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, 2 through 7. Excuse me. It's a familiar passage of scripture. Paul is writing here to Timothy. It says to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way of my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful, thank you, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. For I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Would you say that? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Just look at somebody around you and say it to them right now. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now tell them, God's not given you the spirit of fear. Paul goes on and writes here, he says, but of power and love. King James says sound mind. In this particular translation, it says and discipline. Conquering fear. I believe it's a word for the hour. I believe it's a word for the church. And hopefully many of you will deem it as a word for you as well. Just from the clinical perspective of fear, I want to share a few thoughts with you about the emotional and psychological effects of fear and anxiety. So often we read the scriptures. Did somebody say something? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. That was like an amen or a hallelujah or something. An affirmation, okay. All right, I receive it. Fear is an emotion induced by perceived danger or threat, which causes physiological changes and ultimately behavioral changes, such as fleeing, hiding, or freezing from perceived traumatic events. Pastor Deborah, do we happen to have any of this back there? Do you have these notes? Okay, take her this one, right? Take that to her. So what you put up there is in my notes as well. Thank you. A distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Let me share a few more thoughts with you as it relates to the emotional and physiological effects of fear and anxiety. Fear in human beings may occur in response to certain stimulus occurring in the present or in anticipation or expectation of a future threat perceived as a risk to oneself. Fear is closely related to the emotion anxiety, which occurs as a result of threats that are perceived to be uncontrollable or unavoidable. The fear response serves survival by engendering appropriate behavioral responses. So it has been preserved through evolution. Anxiety, and the reason why I'm taking the time to share this is to help you identify it in your life. Help us identify it so that we can take authority over it and we can conquer it. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior such as pacing back and forth, abdominal pain, chest pain, fatigue, dizziness, insomnia, and headache. Anybody ever had any of those going on? You may be dealing with fear. You may be dealing with anxiety. It is the subjectively unpleasant feelings of dread over anticipated events. Anxiety is a feeling of uneasiness and worry, usually generalized and unfocused as an overreaction to a situation that is only subjectively seen as menacing. It is often accompanied by muscular tension, restlessness, fatigue, and problems in concentration. Anxiety is closely related to fear. John, feel free to come on up and sit up front if you'd like. Which is a response to real or perceived immediate threat. Anxiety involves the expectation of future threat. So when Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, he's not just talking about something spiritual. He's talking about something that's physiological as well. He's talking about something that our bodies respond to. And if we are not intentional in how we handle it, we can live all of our lives as a believer, or let me say as a fearful believer. And then you wonder why certain things never really happened in your life. And it has to do, I believe, in part with a number of things, but one is in this area of learning how to conquer fear. Anxiety can lead to an anxiety disorder, a mental health disorder characterized by feelings of worry, anxiety, fear, strong enough to interfere with one's daily activities. There are people, and you know, one of the things that the church was impacted by is when we had the pandemic hit and COVID hit. You know, it was sad. What it helped us to see, it helped us to locate where we're at and where we're not relative to things going on. And you know, I remember years ago, 9/11, we're September, we just had 9/11, September 11th, it was 2001, I think that was the exact year. Anybody remember where you were at that exact moment? I saw on TV the second plane hit the second tower. I was watching TV at that point. We had a television, Crescentville 747 in our offices, in our location there, and I remember being there and I saw that. It was shortly after that that I was invited to TBN program out of Cleveland, Ohio, and I was asked to be on the program, probably related to worship or something, but all of that was preempted by what is God saying now? What is God? Because that was 9/11. This might have been 2 days, 3 days later that I'm there. So the host, basically, he's like, whatever we're going to talk about, we're not going to talk about that now. We need a word from God about what's going, what just happened. And I remember being in the green room with him, and he's just kind of saying, so what are you hearing? What are you hearing? And this is what I said. I said, I believe that we are in an hour where we as believers in the Western culture in America, we're going to have to make a shift in how we think about things. I said, and one is our faith. I said, we've been taught to exercise our faith to get things. I said, but now we've got to be taught to exercise our faith to do things. And what I mean by that is, and see, here's what flashed in my mind. When 9/11 happened, it was without a doubt the most horrific and tragic, devastating event our nation has ever happened on our soil in terms of a terroristic threat. But the thought that came to my mind is, but what about the other believers in other parts of the world who deal with that every day? And their faith is exercised just to go out the door. They're using their faith to conquer fear. It struck fear. 9/11 struck fear in the hearts of many. Right after 9/11, the following Sunday, there were more people in church than ever before because people were afraid. COVID hit, the pandemic. As believers, and I'm just pausing because I want to make sure, and I try to always, whatever I'm going to say, I need it to be as accurate as possible and not have to retract it later, because once it's out there somewhere. So this is not an indictment, but this is one of our realities. When COVID hit, when the pandemic hit, we found out a lot of people didn't have the faith they talked about. Now, this is not an indictment on whether you took the vaccine or you didn't take the vaccine. I took the vaccine. I did it strategically because I needed to be able to travel and do some of the things that I'm doing. And I trusted God that if there's anything in this vaccine that can harm me, you're going to handle that part by faith. How many of you took the vaccine by faith? Yeah, if you're a believer, you took it by faith. There's the natural knowledge of it, but at the end of the day, it's trusting God. But some people were fearful. Some people were so fearful that they just stopped coming to church. They stopped assembling, and they just decided that, you know, I'll worship from home. Not recognizing that that was one of the ways the enemy used fear to begin to separate the body, to weaken the body. Folks, absolutely. And some of you may have been in that same camp, that same boat of dealing with anxiety of going to work, or for a while maybe you work from home, and then you got to go back to work. Anxiety of you know, going out, and for a while we were all wearing masks. And it was incredibly challenging. See, the thing isn't, well, if you really got faith, you wouldn't wear a mask. No, we're not going that way. No, you need to do what you need to do, but remain in faith. Live in a way, live in a place where all you do is out of faith, not fear. Faith, not fear. When I was having the health challenge, that was going on, and my doctor was saying we need to do something about it. I said, I'll do something when I hear what to do. I said, but whatever I do has to be out of faith and not out of fear. I remember saying that. Paul, when he writes to Timothy, the reason why he is saying to Timothy what he is saying is because he recognizes the information he's sharing with him now has got brother feeling anxious. I know this young man is scared. I'm in prison and telling him I'm passing the baton on to him. But he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Come on, say, God has not given us spirit of fear. Well, where did fear come from? Talk to me. Where did fear come from? Uh, kind. Fear came as a result of Adam's disobedience. So let's look at that real quick, Genesis 3. Genesis 3, you can read it 1 through 10, but I'm picking it up after we know that God gives Adam the woman, and then the serpent shows up in chapter 3 and talks to the woman about the fruit, but Adam is right there with her. Y'all do know that, right? Adam's right there with her. And so the serpent recognizes that the woman doesn't know exactly what God said, because she added, not touch it. And then he told her a lie. He knows the day you eat of it, you'll be just like him. That's why he's holding out on you. So when you read that, it says that they ate of the tree. And then it goes on and it says this in that same passage. I'm just talking a little bit about the origin of fear now, okay? It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened. You can find where that is, but it's in verses 1 through 10. It says, and they knew that they were naked. Depends on your vernacular, naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid myself." So that's where fear started, right there. So you can't say fear is from the devil. Now, he uses it. But the origin of fear was as a result of Adam's disobedience. It's important that we recognize that, because when Adam fell, through his disobedience, sin was birthed. Fear was birthed. So one of the things in our redemptive package is living free of fear.
Yes.
Now, the enemy uses it, but he's not the originator of it. When Adam disobeyed God, he knew something was wrong, and he was afraid. That's where fear was introduced. The trick of the enemy was to make them think, the woman first, then he, that God was holding out on you. God told them, you're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat of it, you're going to die. I guess he would be fearful after that, because he knew what God said. God didn't say you might die. He said you will die. It was that one act that immediately separated him from God. You see, a life separated from God is a life most often driven by fear. While there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, how many of you know that some knowledge you're best not knowing? Living a life of faith may often mean not having all the information you think you need. You see, God wants our security in Him more than the knowledge we have acquired. Are you listening to me? Is this making sense? So often, when you and I, a situation arrives that comes out of nowhere, we're trying to gather as much information as possible. And that can work against you. Living a life of faith may often mean not having all the information you think you need. God wants our security in Him more than the knowledge that we acquire. You see, the religious leaders of Jesus' time, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all the other C's, they prided themselves on the knowledge they had. That's what Paul talks about. When Paul said, look, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I had all the diplomas, all the degrees. I could speak the languages. He said, according to the law, blameless. I mean, he just really put it out there. And then he said, but that means nothing. Now that I know Christ. The Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Now, it doesn't say be stupid. It doesn't say be ignorant. But it says to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You'll see up there it says your comprehension is not required. That really comes from a quote from a Matrix movie where they're dialoguing, and one guy says, your comprehension is not a prerequisite for your cooperation. Now, that's a great statement. I mean, that's like a Jesus statement right there. Jesus could have said that and it'd fit. Your comprehension is not a prerequisite for your cooperation. Not in faith. Not when it comes to faith. So sometimes we have to be very sensitive because knowledge, too much information, can work against you. And when we talk about conquering fear, what I love about God, you know, He has a way of helping you to know just enough to get you going. Because He recognizes if I tell you more, or if I tell you more like what you think you need to know, all you're going to do is worry, being anxious, and become fearful. Note that when God talked to them about going into the promised land, I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey and blessings. Now, when Moses was leading the people, he sent them in and just basically said, just go see what's in the land. God is wise in what gets communicated to you and I. He will bring to you what you need when you need it, but only that. Because He knows what we can handle. And so you'll remember, they're going in just to make sure that the land is what He said. They come back with the rest of the story. The information they brought back was and magnified that information is because the way it impacted them. They were afraid. They were fearful, except for Joshua and Caleb. And you'll remember that when you read that, it says that Joshua and Caleb tried to steal the people in order to get them to quiet down and said, we can do this. He has given us this. We can do it. We need to rise up and let's go. Now, what they were trying to do was shift them from that place of anxiety and fear based on the part of the report that the other 10 spies chose to magnify. So sometimes too much information can hurt you. Sometimes the information that you think you need. Because here's the reality. You see, information can help alleviate anxiety, but not necessarily give you peace. You want the peace of God. It's kind of like that statement that says, no God, no peace, K-N-O-W. No God, no peace, no God, no peace, N-O, no God, no peace. You've seen, y'all seen that before. That's truth. No God, no peace. So what I've found is in my praying as it relates to things happening and learning to conquer fear is that, God, I need you to give me only what I need in this matter. I trust you with all of it. See, sometimes we say, I trust you with the rest. No, I trust you with all of it, even the parts you're going to give to me. Because you know that God says, you do this, I'll do this. That's the way he works most often. So living this life may often mean not having all the information that you need. And yet, God will give you just what you need in order to help you to be able to move forward and conquer the fear. Now, I remember when, going back to this health challenge, and Pastor Maurice and I gathered, we were seeking God, and God led us to this particular procedure. And we went to Atlanta, and we went to had that trip. We came back, and then we decided, you know, I prayed, and we decided, felt this is what the Lord said. So after hearing that from the Lord, I decided, okay, let me Google and find out more about this. Wrong thing to do. Because while some of the information was affirming, a whole lot of the information wasn't. And I remember, because you see, we are gathering the information to help us. I'm gathering the information to help me with my anxieties, help me with my feelings of not knowing. When yet I'm saying, God, but God said, do this. And I remember when the Holy Ghost said to me, stop it. Turn it off. Don't read another thing about it. And I recognized what God was saying is, son, you're only going to make it worse because I've already given you the answer. Knowledge and information is good. At the end of the day, it still comes back to your trust, your confidence in God. When we travel and we fly, and many of you do, if not all of you do as well, you know, there's always those times when you're on the plane and you start getting those bumps in the air, the turbulence. And depending on where you're going or how long you're in the air, you're bound to run into some. So one of the things that's helped me with that is understanding aerodynamics. Now, this is just me. So I took the time to really kind of read and look at. I'm not trying to be a pilot, but I need to understand what's happening. God will bring to you the information to help you to a certain point. But going back to what we read earlier, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. You see, Adam leaned on his understanding. Now, I ain't got a clue what he was thinking when he bit off that fruit. But something in his mind told him, I'm going to go ahead and take a bite. And it was the worst decision he could have made. So I don't know what his understanding was. Maybe he was looking at Eve and she was batting her eyes or something. Honey, this is good. This is good. This is good. I'm just trying to make it light, y'all. Okay, baby, I'm gonna go ahead. Changed everything. Changed everything. So I've done some reading, and I came to understand that with this whole thing of aerodynamics is, you know, basically when you're on a plane, the two most important times are when it takes off and when it lands. Once it reaches cruising altitude, you're good. They'll let you know, we think we might have a few bumps. Those bumps are usually clouds, or those bumps are usually thermodynamics. They'll tell you, and I talked to a couple of pilots, they said, we prefer to fly in the rain because it minimizes those thermodynamics that you're dealing with. It's interesting because I think when it's raining, like driving, you know, when I was on a plane and one of the real small planes and it was raining, and I'm wondering where's the windshield, you know, and where's the windshield wipers? And my thought was, do we need to slow down until I remember we in a plane, you know, but it was a small one. So I'm thinking, you know, you drive, it's raining, you slow down. What I've got to rely on is that pilot's knowledge. Now, so my confidence is in their ability, but my trust is in God. You do know when you get on a plane, your confidence is in who's in that cockpit. But your trust is in God. That's what, if you will, counteracts that fear factor. That right about the time Pastor Maurice and I were coming back, we were flying to Austin, and the pilot made a statement about, I expect a smooth flight, except maybe for the last little bit of the flight, but I'll give you more information on that a little later. Okay, who wants to hear that? Give me, see, I'm talking about now wanting all the information right. Give me the information right now. Tell me right now before you take off. Now we already took off. We're flying, and my confidence is in all that navigation and all that stuff that's in the cockpit that they know how to use, and the pilots that they know how to use it. So we're flying. We get close enough, I guess we're about, 20 some minutes out. He comes back on, says, need everybody to buckle your seat belts, and I don't know whether he said something like, it's going to get a little bumpy or something like that. Now, be honest, how many of you, when you're on a plane and you hear that, you feel something? Yeah, I feel something. It's called anxiety. And you've got to be, you want to be in a place with God that you can take the authority over that, because that happened because of Adam. That's an Adam thing, y'all. Come on, say fear is an Adam thing. Adam, you can have it back. So we're flying, and Pastor Bruce said something to me like, yeah, that's why he didn't want to tell us all the right thing. It was like, he wanted to wait till we get into it. But you know what? Here's what I do. Whenever they say it's going to be bumpy, I say, no, it's not. And I don't say it in my mind. I say it out into the air, just like he said it. Now, I don't say it real loud. I don't make an announcement. But then I begin to pray. I thank God for the angels that are on assignment for me, for the safety of this trip. I pray that the airways open up. I begin to speak to the angels. Open the airways. Open the airways. Move the clouds. Because very often when you're descending, you're coming down, you're coming through clouds, and that's when you're kind of bumping and everything. And depending on how thick those clouds are, they look billowy and like cotton in the sky. But you can be assured some of them things will bounce you around like you're a toy ball or something. I mean, it can do that, even with the big planes. And so they learn to navigate around them, or they know at least for the next 30 seconds or so, it's going to be a little tight, so we need to press our way on through. A lot of times what they'll do, they'll either slow up or they'll pick up speed, depending on what it is that they're working through. It's just the aerodynamics, okay? And so we're flying, I'm kind of thinking, okay, I'm just kind of praying in the tongues and shabbakatabota, just kind of gearing up for the next, bump or drop or whatever. So I'm looking out the window. Okay, I don't see anything because we're in the clouds. Keep riding, looking out the windows. Now, but because I prayed what I prayed, peace came. Peace came. So I kept praying. Hit a little bump, that wasn't bad. Kept praying, hit another little bump, that wasn't bad. Next thing I look out the window, we get ready to land. I was like, come on, Jesus. I looked over at Pastor Maurice, I said, oh, we getting ready to land. I mean, so what the pilot said was going to happen didn't happen. So all the nervous folk on the plane could relax because I took care of it. Now I'm just throwing that out there. There could have been a whole lot of people. Pastor Marisa prayed, could have been the pilots praying. I don't know. We all were praying. My point with this, and the reason why I believe that God's leading me this way for the next couple of weeks, is that many believers are dealing with fear. And yet God has given us the power and the grace to live without fear. You have to know that fear often, though, it's like it's contagious. And that's why you want to be around believers who really know God, walk in faith, live in a place of trust and obedience, so that together you can manage things when they come up and together be a strength to one another. But fear can be contagious, and I'm going to kind of pull this in for now. I ain't even got off my first page of notes, glory to God. But I need to take time with this, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. I wrote this in my notes last night. So, Pastor Deborah, you don't have this. Listen to this. There is no such thing as a crash course in the Word of God. There is no fast-tracking the Word of God. There is no crash course in faith. You can't take a weekend seminar and now you got it. Not this. Not this life. You may get a principle, but what I'm talking about is us learning how to walk out this Word free of fear. One of the challenges often, again, is fear is contagious. And that's why often it's good to have the caliber of people, the company of people around you, so that when you are dealing with anxiety, you are dealing with fear, you can have those around you who can pray you, encourage you, and help you stay where you need to stay. Pull down, conquer the fear, so that you're able to continue in faith. I don't know why I'm talking about planes right now, but that's just what's coming to mind. I was on a flight, and there was a young lady sitting next to me that's never flown on a plane in her life. And she was as scared as anybody scared could be. And we're flying, and she's talking to me. She was from Canada. She might have been going to Canada. She had, a Canadian accent. and she's talking to me, and she says, this is my first flight. Oh, okay. And as soon as we took off, she grabbed my arm. And then every little bump, she said, oh, is that normal? Yeah, that's normal. The whole flight. When I got off that plane to make my connecting flight, I was scared. I was like, what is wrong with me? And I'm walking through, and I saw her in one of those little shops buying. I looked at her like, I started praying in tongues, because what happened is, it's like it transferred. See, when the 10 spies came back and said it transferred through all the people, unfortunately, Joshua and Caleb had no chance, except God himself just sovereignly broke that thing, but he didn't, because God was bringing them into a place, an awareness of relationship with him. So God's thing is, I'm not going to make you do anything. But I had to shake that off of me. Like, I was all right. The last flight I was, before I sat next to her. Now, come on, but let's be honest and let's be real. You know people like that in your life. You ain't got to be on no plane. They call you on the phone. You get off the phone now, you scared. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So it's important that I take my time with this. This can't be a crash course. This can't be a crash course. Because I want you to be able to identify when you're feeling, what you're feeling, what it is that's going on. And then I'm going to show you how to take authority and how to conquer it. Let me leave you with one quick example. And this really has to do with you and I understanding the importance of the company of the saints, that oftentimes God speaks through his body. There's a couple of passages that we'll look at, but right now I want to talk about 2 Chronicles 20. In 2 Chronicles 20, it's Jehoshaphat and all the people when they came together, recognizing that there were three nations coming against them. It says this concerning Jehoshaphat. It says this, Jehoshaphat, in verse 3, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, it says, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. I want you to know that that's one of the keys right there. See, there's nothing wrong with admitting I'm afraid. It's what you do with it after that. Do you give it life or do you conquer it? And sometimes that conquering it has to do with you pressing into God. Jehoshaphat recognized, we don't know, as a matter of fact, he said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then it says that he got the people together and fasted. Jehoshaphat was a different kind of king than Saul. It's in 1 Samuel, you can read this later, 1 Samuel 17, verse 11. It says, Saul was afraid. Saul was afraid. And all of the armies, his armies, were afraid. Because very often, as the leader goes, so goes the people. I want to tell you something. There are things that have happened in this building that you don't have any knowledge of. And it's not to keep it from you. But as a leader, some things you have to handle and meet out information as needed. My point with that is, Saul was afraid, and instead of conquering fear and rallying his team and rallying the armies, they became fearful as well, because as the leader goes, so often everybody else falls right into that place. Moses was not the best leader. And the reason why I say that is this. When he sent those spies out and they came back, two said what they did and the other 10 said what they said, Moses should have been the defining factor. And that is, okay, guys, thank you for your opinion. You 10, go to the back of the bus. We going in. But that's not what happened. So in 2 Chronicles 20, it says this around verse 14. Then in the midst of the assembly, this is after they all came together and they fasted and they sought the Lord, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, that's almost like speaking in tongues, the Levite, the sons of Asaph, and he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I love that. Tomorrow, then gives instructions, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in the battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Says it again. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. I love that. Because here's what this passage helps us to understand, is that now you're not going to have to fight the battle, but you still got to face it. And often, God will work in your life and in my life where he helps us to conquer the fear, but we still got to face it. We still got to walk through it. It reminds me of Joshua with the five kings in the book of Joshua. I think around chapter 10. Where they're fighting, and the five kings run and hide themselves in the caves. And then they get there to the caves, and Joshua says, bring out the five guys. They bring out the five guys. He doesn't kill them immediately. He calls his leaders, and he says, now I need you to put your foot on the neck of these kings. Come on, Bob, come on, you first. I'm just, yeah, any name, just, come on, right here. Yeah, put your foot right there. Okay, good. Next, what he's doing is he's addressing the fear. He's addressing the anxiety. He wants them to know at the end of the day, it's not just what God wants to do for me. He wants what he wants to do for you, because he says this, and this shall God do to all of your enemies. This is what God will do to all of your enemies. So the prophet here is saying to him, he's saying, do not fear, but go on down there. Tomorrow, go out and face them. So I'm closing with this. Wherever you find yourself, Mark, can you come back up and just give me a little, whatever you want to play. Wherever you find yourself right now, and you may be one who's saying, you know what, I really am battling anxiety and fear. If that's you, just raise your, everybody close your eyes. This is not a, you know, so I need people to feel free. If it's you, everybody close your eyes. And then if it's you, everybody raise your hand. Anybody that's dealing with anxiety and fear, I see some hands. Come on. All right, I see your hands. You can put them down. You can open your eyes. for now. Now, here's the thing. I had you close your eyes just so that you would feel comfortable enough to raise your hands, because sometimes it's like, well, I don't want people to know I'm afraid. But there's a point where somebody else needs to know besides you. Because what the enemy will do through that fear is isolate you. Nobody in here has arrived. No one in here is a super saint. And we need to acknowledge that. Because we all deal with anxiety and many times deal with fear. And so as far as the takeaway for today, because there's some things that we really need to unpack. So, it says that Jehoshaphat was afraid, but turned his face to seek the Lord. That's your takeaway for today. Turn your face and seek the Lord. That's your takeaway for this time. What do I mean by turn your face and seek the Lord? Get your eyes off of the situation and turn your focus to the Lord.